Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.RandallGreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
Because there's going to be situations that come up that they want, where it wants you to build the golden calf. In other words, come up with your own plan. God, you ain't saying, I'm going to give you till noontime tomorrow. And if you hadn't had an angel appear to me or Jesus hadn't showed up, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, just go ahead and do it now. Just save you a lot of time. See what I'm talking about? What did they do? They made a golden calf because of what? They got impatient. They didn't want to wait on God. And what did it cause for them? Trouble. It caused adversity. It caused problems because of their disobedience and impatience. Isn't that right? So we want to make sure that we don't want to get impatient. See, I've told you it's about a 3-hour message. I'm going to give it to you in probably under 3 hours. Well, I'm talking about this one point here. No, we're just going to move right along, give you food for thought. You study it out for yourself. You know, what? When we come to church, what we come here for is we come for God to help us grow and develop. Amen. We should get food, spiritual food and sustenance every day of our lives from studying God's Word on our own. Come to church to have it added to. We need to study and grow. Amen? Amen. That's what makes you grow and what puts you over. Just don't bring your Bible to church and study it. Study it at home. Study things like we're talking about tonight. You go into the Bible and study about trouble and adversity. In fact, if you just pull up the word, if you've got a computer that does that with a Bible program, if you pull up the word trouble, you don't want to even see how many times it's in there. I mean, it gets ugly. I mean, it's ugly. How many times the word trouble is listed in the Bible and how many instances of trouble came? But that's what it's all about. Satan has been trying to cause havoc and trouble in the human race since the book of Genesis. And God's been delivering his people every single time without fail. So you can turn your adversity into victory. But you got to make sure that you're not the source. You got to judge yourself. You got to make sure that you're walking in the light of God's word. Good preaching. I'm going to sit down and amen myself. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is just point one. Maybe we'll get with it through with this point one within 3 hours or less. No, just hang on. We're going to move right along here. I'm not planning to cover it all because I just want to make sure we cover this important point because it's very important. He's talking about here the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so not to take anything out of context, I want to include that. But I don't want to take time to read every scripture. I just encourage you to read it later. But this is what it said. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, which means die prematurely. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the Lord. Now, first of all, I want to ask us a question for the benefit of us all. Who is he talking to here? Is he talking to the world? Is he talking to the Jews? Or is he talking to the church? He's talking to the church. The Bible speaks to three different groups of people. It speaks to the world, or the Gentiles, you could call it, the Jews, and then it speaks to the church. Here, he's speaking to the church. And he's telling the church, if you will judge yourself, you won't be judged. So, your circumstance or situation can come on you because of your disobedience. What happens when God allows judgment to come on us, or things, adversities to come our way? What happens is the Lord just allows us to receive and reap the fruit of our own ways. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, turn there because I don't want you to question this, but Galatians chapter 6, Who are you preaching to, Brother Randy? I know you ain't preaching to me. Well, I'm preaching to me, and just because you came, I'm going to let you listen. Amen? But what we're going to do is we're turning your adversity into victory. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself, and don't let the devil talk you anything or anybody else. Don't be deceived. Listen up, is what he's saying. Listen up. Why? Because God is not mocked. You may play games with everybody that you come down the street with. You may run a good game on somebody, and you may play a game. But you ain't going to play no game and pull no wool, so to speak, as Granny would say, over God's eyes. You ain't going to make no fool out of God, and neither am I. If you're trying to fool God, you better go back and try it again, because you ain't going to get it right. You're never going to fool Him. You ain't going to make a fool out of Him. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Why? For whatsoever, a man soweth, and we'll throw the ladies in there too. We don't want to leave y'all out. We ain't going down this path by ourselves. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we look at that from a negative perspective, but you can turn it around and make it positive. If you do the right things, you're going to get good results. If you do the wrong things, you'll get bad results. The Bible says in the Old Testament that God set before us good and evil, life and death. Therefore, choose life that you may live. So what are we doing? We're examining as to whether we're the source of our adversity or not, and we're going to judge ourselves. How long does it take? It don't take long to judge yourself. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, and I like this. It said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap. Reap what? Good things. Because we've done what was right. If we do what? If we faint not. Isn't that what the Bible says? So if we do wrong things, we're going to get wrong results. If we do wrong things, we're going to cause adversity to come on us. Just simply because of our disobedience. And it's not going to be God's fault. Not going to be the devil's fault. Now the devil may help us and encourage us and talk us into it. But at the same time, ultimately, we're the responsible for the outcome of our life. So we judge ourselves so that we should not be judged. Judgment is coming in the body of Christ. Judgment is coming. It's coming on the individual level. It's coming on the individual realm, number one. It's coming on the family realm, number two. And then number three is coming on the national level. How is it coming? It's coming on the individual realm. Judgment is. Judgment from God. Judgment. What is judgment from God? The judgment from God is where God turns you over to Satan that your spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, He will allow you to reap some of the fruits of doing the bad things here in this life to hopefully make you wake up and pay attention so that you don't spend eternity in hell. Now, judgment may seem cruel, but it's not. Do you know it? It's not. Judgment is actually an act of love. Because you could call judgment, you could call it correction, and you could call it discipline. You know, back in the early 70s, I was running through the woods, through briar patches, and there was helicopters flying over my head looking for me. Bloodhounds were chasing me. And police officers were running through the woods. I had just committed an armed robbery probably an hour or so earlier. And prior to this experience of running through these woods, finally exhausted, I fell on my face in these woods. And now the thoughts that I had earlier about committing armed robbery didn't seem so glorious. Now, it seemed like I wished I'd have never done it. I wished I'd have never even thought about it. I wished that I had went this way. You know why? Because of the judgment that I was going to face for committing a crime of armed robbery. So I was laying there, and I was saying, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't done this. But it still wasn't going to change the judgment that was going to come my way. I was thinking, what can I do? Well, approximately 3 months or 4 months later, judgment caught up with me. I got arrested for something else under another name, but they found out who I really was. And they placed me in the prison system, and the judge judged me in the courtroom of law. And what he judged was, he said, you done wrong, and we're going to correct you, boy. We're going to send you to the Alabama State Pen for 12 years, and I'm sentencing you to hard labor. Do you know what? You know what? That made me, after I got there, it made me not to do, want to do armed robbery as much as I used to. It brought a form of correction. And I know people go in and out of prison, but I'll guarantee you, while people are sitting behind prison bars or a cold, dark, damp prison cell, I'll guarantee you they're saying, and they're writing home and saying, if I ever get out of here, I'll never do this again. Oh, if they'll ever give me another chance. And I believe they really meant it, because I've been there. A lot of them live the do right gospel. What is the do right gospel? You let me out of here and I'm going to do right. And they do till you get out of your sight. And that's it. And I'm because it takes Jesus to change somebody. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm not belittling nobody. But I mean, what the judgment that came in my life was to correct me. The police officers and the helicopters and the bloodhounds were trying to catch me and tap me on my shoulder and say, hey, you can't do that. You can't commit armed robbery. We're not going to let you do that. And so they put me in prison to correct me and judge me. Do you know why? There's only one reason. The only reason I went to prison for armed robbery is because prior to the armed robbery, I did not judge myself and say it was wrong for me to do it and not to commit that crime. So I brought the judgment of the court system on myself. It wasn't that they were hunting me down prior to me doing it. But the moment I'd done it, they were starting to hunt me down to bring correction in my life. My son, I've got a child. And sometimes I have to correct him. Because now we've trained him up so, and as they get older and you've trained them enough and they know that you're going to do what you tell you're going to do, then they, all you got to do is say something. And whoa, they can turn into a stone statue in their feet steps because they know the tone of your voice and what's going to happen next. Is there something about applying the board of correction to the seed of learning that causes them to be intelligent? I don't know what it is. Because I remember Daddy used to tell me, you know, I would tell Daddy, I can't. But after he got through applying the board of correction to the seed of learning, I always said, it changed my mentality. I became smart. I became intelligent. I would say, I can. And listen, I'm not talking about abusing any child. I don't believe in that. But the Bible says if you do not correct your child, you hate your children. I'll tell you another thing. Oh, it's a good story. I don't know. That's another 2-hour seminar. But why do you correct your children? Because you love them. Another thing is my daddy and mother used to tell me, son, I don't want to have to spank you like this and correct you. It hurts me worse than it does you. I thought mama and daddy was lying till I had my own child. And then when you have your own child and then you have to correct them, you really don't want to, but you know it's good for them in the long run. It'll help them. Because if they don't learn to respect their parents, let me drop a bomb on you. If children do not learn to respect their parents, they will never respect any authority outside of that home. Unless they meet up with so much adversity that finally they hit their head hard enough that they change. And I'm not belittling nobody, not getting on anybody, I'm just telling you the truth. That's where it starts at. So judgment is coming. Dr. Hagin, prior to going to be with Jesus, he prophesied in the year 2003 that 2005 would be known as the year of judgment. God's going to judge us in areas of our life and make sure if we haven't been walking like we're talking and walking like we said, then adversity is going to come our way. God is going to allow us to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that our spirit may be saved in the day of Christ. There's nobody shouting now, but that's the truth about it. We're going to be judged. You know, and somebody said, and somebody actually challenged me on this particular thing about judgment, and I responded in love, but they said, Jesus paid the penalty for all sin. God doesn't judge anybody today. And I said, yes, that is true. Jesus paid the penalty for every sin that any human being could ever commit, and He paid the price for it by shedding His blood, being buried, and going to the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and then God raised Him from the dead and vindicated Him. And every sin that is confessed and turned away from, Jesus paid for it. But if you're living in known sin, now that sin's not paid for.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.